This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. In just a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by Manu Menon, the CEO and co-founder of Utopia, an edtech startup that is looking to equip students with core life skills required to be future ready. Now, the team behind Utopia believes that children need more than academic smarts alone to succeed in the future. And this is why they are focused on equipping children aged 10 to 16 across Southeast Asia with core life skills that will help them think critically, solve problems creatively, and communicate effectively. And they have a hybrid approach to delivering the learning experience via an online platform, as well as an interactive instructor-led workshop sessions as well. And they use custom-made games that test critical thinking skills and helps develop resilience to make the learning experience fun and also effective. But I'll let Manu here give us the full details on their mission, Utopia's vision as well, and the game plan for making this the new normal in education here in Malaysia and beyond. Manu, welcome to Open for Business.
Thank you so much, Audrey. Nice being here.
So, Manu, in your own words, what is Utopia?
So Utopia is basically something that I've been thinking about for a long time. So, I've always been interested in this whole academic space, right? And the fact that a lot of focus is still being given in producing straight A students, I feel there's something of a mismatch. Having worked for the last 25, 26 years, I have personally been in a position where I hire fresh graduates. And fresh graduates may have the hard skills, but when it comes to the softer skills, the ability to speak, the ability to actually think on their feet, that is something that is missing. So this is something that's been in my mind for a long time. I've been looking at solutions out there, but there's not been one that has tried to solve this problem holistically. So that's the reason why we came up with Utopia, to really focus on things that are non-academic, which we know, not just based on our own research, but based on reports. These are the kind of skills that are going to be needed in the future. So that's why we are focused on this this particular area.
So, Manu, you said that this is something that's been on your mind for quite a few years now. What is your background like? You know, I know that you have a couple of years in education and tech, but give us the details.
Sure. So, basically, I started working right out of school. So, at the age of 19, I left school, much to my mother's disappointment. And basically, what I did was I went into education. I went into training. I went into English language teaching, study skills. And for about 4 or 5 years, I was doing that. So even at that time, I was looking at working with companies that had a different approach to education. So I was working with this company called Applied Scholastics. And we did study skills. We taught English in a very different way. So I was doing that for about 4 years, and then I went on into technology. I was doing lots of different things from hardware to software. I started a company about 15 years ago doing learning management systems as well. So it's always been there. This idea of education has always been there in the back of my mind. But then I also moved on. So the first venture didn't really succeed to the level that we wanted it to be. So I moved on back into employment. The last job that I held was in digital marketing. So I was the managing director of one of the leading digital marketing agencies in Malaysia. So that's basically the journey. But as I mentioned, this idea of education has always been there. So I've also I'm a certified trainer. So I teach adults different skills from digital marketing to digital transformation as well. So that's one of the things that I noticed. So I felt that teaching adults is great. However, if you want to see real lasting change, we need to get them young. And that's why I started Utopia.
All right. Now tell us a bit more about the platform and what it hopes to deliver, what it hopes to do.
Great. So as you had mentioned very nicely, so we have a hybrid approach when it comes to teaching life skills. So on one side, we have built a self-paced platform where we've created games in collaboration with our education partner. We worked with a university called UPSI in Tanjung Malim, and they helped us come up with a framework that we are using on our platform right now. So we use games. These are problem-solving games. These are different types of interactive quizzes that we use on our platform, where the kids are exposed to skills like critical thinking, creativity, and communication. So that is self-paced. And on the other side, because we know in Southeast Asia, parents are still more comfortable with having a face-to-face kind of a learning experience. So what we've done is, given the pandemic, we've taken it online. So we have instructors who are experts or passionate in different areas, and they conduct courses from as short as, let's say, 45 minutes sessions, all the way to over 12 hours is something that we also do. 12 hours obviously is broken over a few days as well. So these are the different approaches that we take in delivering our content.
Right. Now, you mentioned earlier something about how research has shown that this is something that we need. You know, what kind of market research went into creating Utopia?
Great question. So before even looking at the market itself, there were studies. So there's a body called the World Economic Forum. So back in 2016, they had come up with a report which identified 16 different skills that kids will need by the year 2030 in order to thrive. And out of these 16 skills, there were three pillars. So we had the literacies, which is something that most schools cover. Then we had competencies, which include things like critical thinking, communication, creativity, and collaboration. And then we had a third pillar, which was more on these other skills like resilience, initiative, leadership, and so on and so forth. So these were the three main pillars that particular report had brought up. So when I looked at that report, I then did a further research. I spoke to like hundreds of parents and kids to identify if there were any solutions in the market that solved those other pillars. And from what we gathered, there wasn't any. So we went on and decided to build Utopia.
Now, okay, addressing the Malaysian market, you know, I'm sure there were specific pain points that you came across that needed to be addressed. What were the general complaints or concerns by parents and the kids and educators as well? You know, what were the pain points in the industry?
Yeah, so we had a couple of things that stood out when we were discussing with the parents. So when it came to parents, what really stood out was the fact that, yes, I send my kids for a lot of these enrichment programs. They go and learn everything from chess to piano to what have you. But I don't see them being able to translate those skills into a real life scenario. Mm. So that was one of the biggest challenges that a lot of parents identified. So how do I get my kids to apply these skills in a real world scenario? So that's one of the main things that stood out when we spoke to parents. When it came to kids, on the other hand, what they found was, okay, we started the company, at least we formed the company in 2019 prior to the whole pandemic. So the idea of online learning and all that was still something very new. But what the kids quickly mentioned were that the online classes that they're going for is just plain boring. I have two daughters of my own, and I see that personally as well, firsthand. You know, I see that personally. They don't like waking up and going for their classes. And I find that as a lost opportunity, right? So it's really sad to see that my kids growing up hating school, you know. I mean, literally hating school, you know. So that's something that I noticed. So when we spoke to the kids, what they wanted was, can you teach me the skills in a way that is fun, right? So that's something that that's one of the reasons why we decided to make it learn by doing. So we created those games for them to actually experience and improve themselves in these areas.
Right. It's sad to hear that 20 years down, kids still hate school, you know, from my time. Now, tell us a bit more about these games and about adapting these life skills to their lives every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what we have done is working with Oopsie, we have come up with a framework. So we have two main skills that we are looking at. So we have critical thinking skills and creative thinking as well. So within these skills, we have then broken it down into what we call building blocks. So in order to become a critical thinker, there are a few different types of thinking that you need to be able to do. So one is, for example, algorithmic thinking. What is algorithmic thinking? It's really about being able to sequence your thoughts in a way that it makes sense and being able to present the ideas that you have in a way that another person could relate to, right? So what we've done is, with that building block, for example, algorithmic thinking, we have then created a game. So one of the games that we have created is where they need to follow certain steps to create a particular product at the end of the day. If they were to miss any of the steps, they won't be able to achieve the end result. So that's one example. Another building block is what we call decomposition. So decomposition is where you look at a problem, you're able to break it down into smaller pieces before coming up with a solution. So for that, we have created like puzzle games. So we have this game called like a jigsaw puzzle, where they are able to change the tiles to complete a picture in a time given within the game itself. So that's another example of a game that we have. And the third one, for example, we've created a game using the Unity platform where they have, it's like a problem solving game where you have to run away from zombies and you have four people that need to cross a particular bridge, and you can only have two people cross at any one time. Each of them crosses at a different speed, and you have to come up with a very quick calculation to see which combination works best for you. Otherwise, you'd end up being a zombie. So these are some of the games that we have created. And we have on the platform, which we are getting a lot of good feedback from the kids themselves.
Right. So 10 to 16 years old, I guess zombies would be something they'd be interested in. I understand that the platform hopes to encourage critical thinking skills, creativity, but what about the communication aspect?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So when it comes to communication, what we are doing is we are doing two things. So one is we are teaching them the basics that is needed. So, for example, to be a good communicator, you first need to know how to be an active listener, for example. So we teach them what is active listening. So we use, again, in the case of communication, the way we teach it on our platform is we use a lot of scenario-based quizzes. So we give them a certain scenario and that they need to identify if this person is applying active listening or not. So the active listening is just one example. So first we teach them the basics. The second part is where they then need to apply what they've learned. So some of the games that we have is where they need to craft words. For example, we'll give them a jumble of letters and they need to craft words with it based on certain clues that we provide them. So that's an application of communication. And because we have the hybrid portion where we have those face-to-face or online sessions as well, so that's where we have been running lots of programs on communication where the kids actually get to apply the skills that they learn on the platform. They can then apply it in those workshops that we run online. And we've been getting, again, very good feedbacks. Like parents have been saying that the kids are a lot more confident in terms of speaking. And they want more. They want more things like public speaking. They want more things around communication as well. And that's something that we will be launching over time.
All right. It's time for us to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, we discuss if Malaysian students have the capacity for something like Utopia, especially during this pandemic, as well as concerns over screen time. All that and more coming up on Open for Business with Utopia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You are listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Manu Menon, the CEO and co-founder of Utopia, an edtech startup that is looking to equip students with core life skills required to be future ready, is online with me today. And we were just discussing zombies, right, Manu?
That's right.
Right. So coming back to the Utopia platform, Manu, you know, what's the business model? Now, how much will it cost parents to put their kids on this platform or for a subscription?
All right. So what we do is, like you correctly said, it's a subscription model, right? So we have we take a freemium approach. So we have a free version where any child can log on, and they'll be exposed to, they'll be given 15 different learning experiences or learning modules that they can complete. And then what we would do is we would every month add on a free module as well. So we have a free account, that's one side, but in terms of the premium subscription, which allows them to access all the different learning activities, that starts at about 36 ringgit. So that's the a month, 36 ringgit a month. Yeah, 36 ringgit a month. And that's the figure that we are going out to the market with. And what they would also get with this 36 ringgit is, besides what's already there, obviously we'd be adding more content to the content library on a monthly basis, so they would have access to that. They would also be brought into, we run sometimes free workshops as well, so they would have access to those free workshops as well as part of the premium subscription.
So how many hours a week or a day, you know, would a child need to be on the platform to gain like optimal results?
Great question. So the what we have done is working with our academic advisors, what we are looking at is we don't want the kid to spend hours on our platform. So every module has been designed to be 10 minutes or less per level. So what we are looking at is if they were to spend about 20 to 30 minutes a day, and over a period of 3 months, they would already start seeing the improvements itself. So that's the kind of timing that we put aside for each module itself. So each module, each level is designed to be less than 10 minutes. That's also the attention span of the average child these days.
Okay.
And I'm sure adults as well.
Yeah. I guess it also addresses the concerns that, you know, most parents have over screen time.
Yeah, exactly. So we had taken that into consideration. So my wife as well, I mean, always constantly talks to the kids and say they're spending too much time in front of the screen. So these are some of the things that we have taken in when we were building out the solution in order to deliver a platform that really works, at the same time doesn't compromise anything in terms of health or, you know, stuff like that as well.
Right. I want to touch on your parents' dashboard in just a bit. But, you know, I have to ask this question. I've been there, you know, I've been a student and I remember what it was like. But I wonder these days, you know, do Malaysian students have the capacity for a little bit more like this, you know, like an added activity like this? You know, they're already inundated with homework, tuition, if you want to call it, things like that. Why would this be something parents choose to add on to their kids' workload?
Yeah, another great question. So I think you're right. Kids these days are sometimes busier than the adults, right? So what we've done is we've taken an approach. So one, yes, we limit the amount of time that you need to spend on the platform itself. Number two, we make the activity on the platform engaging and interesting that a child wouldn't mind doing it. As opposed to sitting and listening to another lecture or a video or whatever. So here you're actually playing a game and you're almost unconsciously learning these skills. So that's why we feel that what we have fits in nicely with what is already out there. We're not asking them. It's not a big commitment of time that we're asking these kids to spend on our platform.
Right. So I have a child at home and I know how important it is to monitor what they're doing on their devices. And, you know, with the older kids, it's a bit difficult, but, you know, with the younger ones, a little bit easier. But I noticed that my youngest tends to be playing the same games over and over again, and that's not mm-hmm. really going to help her achieve her goals. So how does Utopia address something like that? Ensuring that the kids progress and not just play the games that they like all the time.
Yeah. So we what we've done is we've included some tried and tested model like gamification, right? So we have badges. So if you keep playing the same game, you're not going to unlock certain badges that we have put in the platform itself. So that's one of the elements that we have introduced to make sure that the child progresses or moves from one module to another, from one level to another. So that's one basic thing that we've done. So what we've noticed is it sort of encourages and motivates kids to actually move to the next level and try something different. That's one thing. So, but what we also want to do is, which we have, we'll be introducing probably by year end, is to have like a social leaderboard, for example. So we want to have a little bit of a competitive spirit among these kids. So we'll have different types of games where there'll be a top score that you can always beat. And every time you're doing that, you're still sharpening the saw, as they say, right? You're still building on that particular skill itself. So there, that's what we that's how we intend to solve that particular problem.
Great. Now, what's the take up been like for Utopia, Manu?
So we've launched at the end of last year. So we've not done any marketing. We're still a bootstrapped startup. So what we have is about 1,000 people who have already signed up for the platform, have used our different tools. And also on the online workshop, we're seeing a growth, a quick growth. So we started those online workshops in June this year. And over the last 3 months, it's been almost doubling the number of students who've been signing up. The numbers are still small, but it's showing good signs that we're heading in the right direction. So that's where we're at this point.
You know, this is something that I maybe should have asked you a bit earlier, but why target the 10 to 16 year olds? Why not start them young?
So so one of the reasons why we looked at 10 to 16, when we were discussing with our academic advisors, the capacity to build critical thinking skills is at a heightened state when the kids reach reach the age of 10. So that's the reason why we looked at 10 as the starting point. However, with the online workshops that we are running, we are training kids as young as six for some of the programs that we run. So we have a creativity program run in collaboration with another educator. So she teaches these kids through storytelling and gets them to come up with their own stories. So that's targeted at kids as young as six. So we started off at 10, at looking at the ages of 10 to 16. And the platform, the content on the platform is still very much geared toward that age group. However, with the online workshop, we're now casting our net wider.
Right. Now, you said earlier you haven't really started marketing Utopia as a platform, but you know, what are the plans? Do you plan to work with the Ministry of Education, you know, to see how this maybe would complement the national syllabus or be part of the National Education Blueprint?
Yeah. So we would love to do that. However, we feel that we are not in a position yet to be having that collaboration or that talks with the ministry yet. But what our approach to marketing is going to be threefold. So we're going to look at directly communicating with the parents through digital marketing channels. Secondly, we are looking at working with schools, especially private schools, mid-tier private schools, who feel that our program can complement, as what you mentioned, what they're already offering. And the third one is also to look at corporates. So a lot of corporations these days are looking to offer something to their employees, especially now that many of them are still stuck at home, something to help make their lives better. So we feel that we can slot in Utopia as an option for the employees' children and offer that as an incentive to the employees themselves. So these are three main ways. We are also looking in at the international market. So we have just recently signed a partnership with a company in Indonesia. So they are taking us into the Indonesian market starting next month. And this is something that we are really looking forward to because it's a huge market over there. Given what we are doing, it again sort of complements what's already out there. They have a lot of systems and platforms that are focused on academic skills. So I feel what we are doing complements what they have in Indonesia as well. So these are things that we have in the pipeline.
Right. So is it just Indonesia and Malaysia for now?
Yeah. So right now we're looking at Indonesia and Malaysia. The third market that we're looking at would be Vietnam. So all these markets are huge markets. They have their own complexities and challenges. But one thing that's good is our skills are not something that needs to comply to a local curriculum. It's a universally applicable skill. So we can go to any country if we want to. provided we have the marketing muscle and the means to do that. So that's something that we're looking at. But yeah, so immediate markets, Malaysia, Indonesia, and then later on Vietnam as well.
Right. Now, when it comes to education, I think the challenges are just endless. You want to talk to us about some of the biggest challenges that, you know, you faced while trying to get Utopia out there?
Great. So I think, I think both my co-founder, Natalia, and I, we've experienced lots of different challenges when it's come to building this company itself. So some of the challenges that we've had is one, a lot of parents in Malaysia are still of the mindset that I just want to prepare these kids to get straight A's. Mm. And they feel that the straight A's are a guaranteed passport to success. It might be true. However, based on lots of studies, there's another study from Deloitte which talked about soft skills being an important, what 2/3 of jobs will require soft skills rather than just hard skills, you know. So these are the kind of things that are, so that's one of the biggest challenges, convincing these parents that, yeah, you need to look at holistic development rather than just academic focus. So that's one of the main challenges. Number two is really balancing balancing as a startup, so balancing the day-to-day operations with, you know, fundraising and talking to potential investors and stuff like that. So it's just balancing those two things is one of the other challenges that we have. But on the whole, now we have a solid team that's behind us who helps us build the games, who takes care of the platform. So it really helps us go after the goal and the mission that we have. So that's what we've been seeing so far.
Right, it's really dangerous to mention things like fundraising and not give us the details, Manu. So what's the status on that? And how much are you looking to raise? And what do you plan to do with the money raised?
So I'll probably not talk about specific numbers for this particular discussion. But yeah, so we're looking to raise a seed round. So we are in this stage of speaking to both angel investors and some institutional investors as well. The funds are mainly focused on building out the platform. We have some ideas to even introduce things like machine learning and AI to personalize the whole learning experience. So that's one of the main things where the funds will be spent on. The other part is building out the team. So we have a team of about 6 people right now. So we want to build this out to about 12 people by the hopefully by the middle of next year. And that will give us the ability to churn out more activities, more games, and really go after the market in a big way.
Right. I think you've actually answered my final question there, but let me just put one last one to you before I let you go, Manu. What's the end game for Utopia? You know, how do you see your platform contributing to the lives of the future generations and making an impact in the education industry here? What's the end game for Utopia?
Yeah. So our mission is really to give life skills the kind of respect that it actually needs. So that's really what we're looking at. And we want to be able to ultimately see kids who are not academically smart still have the skill sets to find success in the future. And that's going to be our biggest win as an organization. So that will be a biggest win when we see a lot of these kids going out there and being able to define their own area that they want to succeed in and push that out. So that would be it. So in terms of as a company, our end goal, we want to be a regional player. Obviously, being a startup, the idea of being a unicorn is always at the back of our mind. But what's more important is we want to be able to touch at least 1 million students in the next 3 years and have these kids go out there and really utilize the skills that we teach them at Utopia.
Right. And we wish you all the best, Manu. And for listeners out there who are keen to learn more about Utopia or maybe give your freemium program a try, give them the website.
Sure. It's www.youthopia.co, not .com, but .co.
All right. And if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. More on Open for Business, same time tomorrow. But for now, on behalf of Manu Menon from Youthopia and myself, Audrey Raj, thank you for listening. This has been Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.